Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm glad you've joined us today. Today we have a presentation by Pastor Wendley Phipps entitled New Wineskins for New Wine. An interesting title, and because of time constraints, we are going to do what we've done before for some other messages, and that is divide this one into two parts. Today you're going to hear part one of this message, New Wineskins for New Wine. So stay tuned, and we want to wish you a happy new year. Before we get into the message, we're going to share some music with you. Music entitled Amazing Grace, and this is from a CD entitled Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham, done by Wendley Phipps. Here's music now.
When we
listening to the More Abundant Life Radio broadcast. This is Adrian Westney Jr. We just heard music from Wintley Phipps from the CD entitled Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham. And we just heard Amazing Grace. Now to the message for today, part one of the title New Wineskins for New Wine. Here's Pastor Phipps.
My message this morning, new wineskins for new wine. Many here today are rejoicing because finally the old year is over. Many of us look back over this past year, we really don't know how we made it through, but for the grace of God. Amen, sister. Amen. But the past is behind us now, and we ought to look for the many tokens of God's blessings and praise Him for His care and loving kindness. Isaiah said, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things He has done for the house of Israel, according to His compassion and many kindnesses. This morning we praise God that in His mercy He has allowed us to see the first Sabbath of the year. You know, the older you get, the more precious a new year is.
Amen.
Amen. And there is no doubt in my mind, however, that we have entered what will be a most tumultuous time in human history. In our lifetime, we've seen the rise and fall of communism, the advent of radio and television, the telephone, computers, the internet. It's hard for me to even say it. I can't believe it, but I was born before television. Many of you were born, some were born before that. Amen. Today, you can sit on a computer, hit send, and in 20 seconds, a message can go from your computer in Indiana to a village in India. What a world we're living in. One doctor said that he has to read 220 articles a month just to keep up with all the changes in his profession. What a world we're living in. For many, a new year is time for a fresh start, a new outlook, new beginnings, new hopes, new dreams, a time to leave the past behind and press forward to the excitement of what lies ahead. I came across this poem. It goes like this. I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you've learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it out with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant you when you have fewer conflicting desires and right priorities. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will to do, all the faith that you claim but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, behold, I make all things new. Church, the new year has brought with it for me new hope, new determination, new dedication, new devotion, new directions. And as we start this new year, I believe I can say with confidence that spiritually all of us want this year to be better than the last. Perhaps you've come this morning to make some special vow or promise to the Lord, or perhaps you wish to renew a promise to the Lord you have not kept. Perhaps there is some promise that is the silver cord that binds your heart to His. And I'm not talking about another New Year's resolution. Now, don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with making New Year's resolutions. By and large, New Year's resolutions are positive things. I haven't met anyone yet who said, for this new year, I plan to start smoking or drinking. By and large, New Year's resolutions are positive things. You know the top three are: eat more healthily, exercise, and spend less money. Some, during this past year, your mouth got you into a lot of trouble. And so this year, you would just want to ask God for help to control your tongue and your temper. A lot of amens in the church this morning. Others want to ask God for the strength to turn their backs on some secret sin. And if you're like me, this year you just want a closer walk with Jesus. But have you ever wondered why we as human beings are so inconsistent in keeping our promises to God? Have you ever wondered why your most sincere commitments to the Lord never seem to last? Why is it that we begin the new year with new hope and new joy, and before long we're back in a rut and we're disillusioned and disappointed? John Huffman tells about the work of a University of Washington research team. They studied the psychology of relapse, why people fail to keep New Year's resolutions. And they discovered that over half of those who make resolutions will break all of them by April. The rest will break at least one of them by that time. The study discovered the two major reasons that people break their resolutions and lose their joy and enthusiasm are: number one, they begin to experience some form of negative emotion, like depression, like anger, have mercy, fear, loneliness, and instead of turning to the Lord, they turn to their old habits for comfort and relief. The second reason for their relapse is either direct or indirect social pressure and peer pressure. Friends, consider this. They found out only 9% of people who relapse and fall back into bad habits, only 9% of them are traced to symptoms of withdrawal. The truth is, and this is shocking, 75% of our failures and relapses are directly attributable to negative emotions and social pressure. In other words, the worst thing a newly released convict can do is to go back to his old neighborhood and get with his old buddies, his old posse. The Bible was right when it said bad company corrupts good morals. Trust me when I tell you, you have to get negative people who are up to no good out of the inner sanctum of your life if you want to progress. The wonderful thing about the beginning of a new year is that it gives you a chance also to really look at where you are, where you'd like to be. You get a chance to look at what's not going right in your life, what you don't like about yourself. We don't like to do that. But that's why the Lord gave us the law. It is a mirror that we hold up where we can see the way we really are. And you see what changes you've got to make. Now, being a pastor for almost 30 years, I can tell you that making changes, breaking out of old patterns, establishing new patterns and new habits is one of the most difficult things in life to do. And so this morning, the first Sabbath of the new year, many have come under deep conviction with the clear intent to make promises and vows and resolutions before God. They want to say, Lord, this year is going to be different. How many want to say that? I'm going to eat right. How many want to say that? I'm going to exercise. How many are going to say that? I'm going to work hard in the church. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to start going back to church. I'm going to start returning a faithful tithe. This year, I intend to face my bad habits finally, claim victory over that besetting sin. You know, brothers and sisters, there is a reason, however, that we always seem to promise the Lord more than we deliver. There is a reason we always promise better than we perform. There is a reason we often start out with the best of intentions, but often end up failing the Lord and failing ourselves. Many don't realize when you are serving the Lord, there are some practical things you have to do if you're going to succeed in living for God. The Bible says faith without practice goes nowhere. To change yourself. Maybe nobody needs changing here today. But to change yourself, you've got to first change your environment. Your environment has a huge impact on what you become. That's what the Bible means when it says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools, Proverbs 13:20 says, will suffer harm. If your environment is filled with people who are committed to immorality, you're going to drift to their level. But fill your environment with people who want to live righteously, who want to live for God. Remove the distractions, the things that draw you away from God, and the changes you want to make. And the Lord will bless you. There's a reason most of us fail to live up to what we promised the Lord. And that's the essence of my message today. Jesus tried to tell us why. Speaking to the disciples of John, here's what our Lord said. And you can find it in the book of Matthew. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 17. Praise God for his holy word. Jesus said in Matthew 9, 17. Praise God for his word. I love the word of God. I don't know about you. You don't realize every time you open a Bible, it is a privilege. Amen. And you ought to thank God. Every time you open a Bible, you ought to say a prayer. Praise God. Thank you for the word of God. Here's what the Lord said. No man, and I'll read it to you. God is good. 9 verse 17. Neither do men, look at verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither, hallelujah, do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Let me give you another translation. Jesus said, no man putteth a piece of new cloth to patch an old garment. For the patch will pull away from the garment and make the tear worse. And neither do men use old wineskins to pour and store new wine. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and both the wine and the wineskins will be lost. The only way to preserve new wine, said Jesus, is to put your new wine into new wineskins. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. The old wineskins will burst from the pressure. Have mercy. Spilling the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. That way both the wine and the wineskins are preserved. Church, in Bible times, wine was not kept in glass bottles. What the Bible called bottles were really goat skins. sewn around the edges, watertight bags. Those were the bottles of Bible times. And in those days, they realized that as new wine expanded and fermented, it stretched the wineskins. So they also noticed that after the wine had aged, the stretched skin would burst it more. And if new wine was poured in, it was even worse. New wine, therefore, was always put into what kind of wineskins? New wineskins. And one of the reasons, our resolutions and our promises to God never seem to last, is because we make promises without changing the environment into which those new promises are poured. We can never keep our promises to God if we pour our new hopes and dreams into the bottles of our old attitudes and our old behaviors and our old lifestyles and our old patterns. To keep promises to God, you must radically change your lifestyle and your pattern and your behavior and your attitude.
To tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for. My life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so strong as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. So kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today, or close to it anyway. We just heard some extra music there by Wendley Phipps from the CD entitled Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham, and we heard No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. You can call the Seabrook Church, and the phone number there is 301-577-6342. Again, the phone number for the Seabrook Church, 301-577-6342. And when you call, you want to refer to program number 309. That's 309, and that will give you today's message, New Wineskins for New Wine, Part 1. You may also now email an order into the Seabrook Church. And the email address you want to use is SeabrookAV. That's Seabrook, SEABROOK, and then the letter A and the letter V, like Victor. And that's at yahoo.com. When you email your order in, you want to just let them know what you will need, program 309, and whether it is a cassette or a CD, which most people are ordering now, CDs. And they will take care of you that way also. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, but until next time, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life. Take care until next time.
In your heart.